You're listening to The Soul Chronicles, the podcast navigating life and times in the sneaker industry, Hollywood, and corporate America.
Hey, everyone. We're back with another episode of The Soul Chronicles podcast. I'm your co-host, Mohammeda El-Muhajir, along with...
Hey, y'all. It's Nikita Newhall. How you doing?
So we're in season two. We're midway through. We have a great topic today. I'm excited to talk about the group that we're going to talk about today. They're on our list to talk about this season. But lately, over the past week, I've heard so much about Andre 3000 that I was like, now is the time. We definitely want to, you know, put out our Outkast episode, just sharing our experiences working with both Big Boy and Outkast, but also talking about, you know, just some of the things that celebrities are dealing with, you know, because we listen to, did you hear that podcast with Rick Rubin's podcast with Andre 3000?
Yes, I did hear that. And then, you know, of course, I think everybody heard about the leaked Kanye West collab and somehow Drake is involved. And so there was a lot of Andre 3000 this week. So I thought when you told me we should record them, I was like, we should. And I, you know, it's interesting for me because I spent a lot of time with them in Atlanta and in LA when they were very young in the industry. Of course, we have incredible relationships with everybody at LaFace. Shout out to Sean Macon. Shout out Sherry Riley, Sherry Hughley. Shout out Shanti Das, right? Just all the amazing people that we had an opportunity to work with there. So just some really good relationships. And it's so interesting because I don't really have like a particular story mm-hmm. around them. We were always doing the most together, but I, you know, my heart really went.
That picture in your office, you had a picture of them in your office.
Oh yeah. I forgot all about that. So I had this cute like 5x8 picture that they sent me and I put it in a frame because listen, Mohammeda, the only thing they wanted, and I know we talk about this every episode, so people think we're probably just making it up, but no, really, they really wanted a Nike deal. Like, you do not understand. Every time they be like, Nike deal, Nike deal, Nike deal. I'd be like, anyway, what are we going to eat? Nike deal. I'd be like, oh my God. So they took a picture. You know how like people be on the side of the road, like, we'll work for food. They had a sign that said, we want a Nike deal. And it was both of them, and they was looking kind of sad. So they sent me the picture.
They were holding,
so I had another frame
they were holding up a poster. They have made a poster.
They made a poster in their own handwriting. I have the picture here somewhere. I'm going to try to find it and see if we could share it out with people so they can see it. And then I talk to Ms. Benjamin all the time. Yes. Mother
so of Andre. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And their manager at the time. And then I think later Blue managed them. Shout out Blue Williams. I know you had a really great relationship and you took over that relationship when I moved on from music. But yeah, just some incredible dudes, man. Like just seriously, some amazing people that I'm so glad I had an opportunity to, you know, share that piece of my time at Nike with. So yeah, when I came across this Rick Rubin podcast, and I know you probably listened to more of it than I did, it really drew so many parallels for me. Mm-hmm. Because people who didn't listen to the podcast, they talked about a whole lot of stuff, mainly about, you know, Andre and kind of what's next for him and, you know, why he hasn't like really put out a record yet and just sort of all the anxiety that goes into that. And when I heard what they were saying about social anxiety and how you can have all these issues and these holes and you think that the music and the entertainment is going to fix it. And you could be at the height of your career and it just doesn't, you know, Rick Rubin is sharing out in that episode about how he had won a Grammy and he had, I think one of the music publications that called him. Who did he say called him?
Well, he said his Beastie Boys album was number one in the country, and some, but it was actually the exact opposite.
And he was just like, he was feeling the worst he'd ever felt, right? And so they were sort of commiserating around how whatever that hole is, you think the music, the entertainment, getting your art out is going to fix it, and it doesn't. It just sort of exasperates it, and so it grows. And then there are all these other things that come along with it, like the pressure. And I think that's such a parallel because, again, you know, Soul Chronicles, we're here talking about our life and times in the music industry, in entertainment, in Hollywood, in sports. And for a lot of these executives working behind the scenes, that is such a through line that we hear all the time, them wondering, are they going to be good enough still? And I think maybe executives in any industry, you know, might feel that. You know, am I going to be as big as my last marketing campaign? You know, am I going to be this artist that I'm signing now? Are they going to be as big and as good as the last artist that I signed? Is this script going to be as good as the last script that I did? Right. And it really comes down to acceptance. One thing that I heard this week from Set Guru, who I love listening to him, he said, you know, some people are suffering their failure, but a lot of people are suffering their success. Mm-hmm. And that was so profound to me. And from his perspective, what the solution for that is deep, profound joy. And he says that joy should always be running in the background, mm-hmm. right? So no matter what it is you're doing, no matter what it is you're seeking, that you should always have that baseline of joy that's going on inside of you so that you're not really fazed by things that ebb and flow, right? That's a whole nother thing for another day. But yeah, so I just thought, you know, hearing Andre speak so candidly, you know, about social anxiety and just how, you know, it seems like that he's really pleased that it's more socially acceptable to be able to say, it was so funny. He said, like, you know, back in the day, it wasn't even a thing to talk about social anxiety. He said, but now you tell somebody you got social anxiety, they'd be like, okay, go take a nap.
Right, yeah.
At this point, we that, you know, that it's, there's a level of understanding there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And yeah, it was good. I mean, I think one thing that I really love about my favorite podcasts, aside from the Soul Chronicles, are the like peer-to-peer interviews, you know, where, you know, there are other artists or other people who work in the entertainment industry are interviewing people because they, the type of questions and the type of openness that they're going to get is totally different. Just like when we interview people who we've been in the same field as them, we can understand what they're saying. And then our perspective is very similar. So I just thought that that was like refreshing because there was an openness. You know, I feel like Andre is like a sensitive human anyway. You can see that through his art. And I mean, nobody is prepared for success in the industry. Like, I mean, we see the breakdown of so many artists. There's no way that you can prepare a human for that kind of attention, that kind of, you know, openness that they are going to have to share with of themselves, of their privacy. It's really, really a lot. And, you know, he was being frank with how he felt about his art and then the pressure, you know, and I feel like most people, you know, all artists feel that, like, how can they achieve what they've already achieved, right? And like, cause we feel like that's the how our society is. It's always like, do better, do more. Even in corporate world, it's like sell more, more profits. You know what I mean? Like, that's not even how life works, right? What is there that there's just increase in growth just exponentially? Like there's ups and downs, and I don't think we give people that freedom and that space to have failures, to have less than what they did before or whatever, even if it's not a failure. So I just thought that was really interesting. And then just seeing how that has really kind of like inhibited him creatively, you know, to the point that he feels, you know, anxiety about creating at this point in his life. And he also mentioned that he had, which I thought was pretty interesting, that he had a conversation with Eminem. This was about rap, you know, about the group Hieroglyphics. But I was like, oh, okay, y'all talk. So yeah, but I mean, I definitely, go ahead.
You also, You've had some good interactions with OutKast too, though, when you were at Nike.
Yeah. And just speaking, I mean, a lot of relationships, you hand it off to me, you know, I felt like we were in a track meet and you handed off the baton to me. So we talk about, you know, artists all the time and who is their point person for us. A lot of times it's not the manager, it's not the record label person. It could be the auntie, the homeboy, whoever. And I spent a lot of time on the phone with Miss Benjamin, that's Andre's mom who passed away. But she, I believe she was a minister, but I don't know how, what I'd be talking to, you know, we used to be talking to these mamas and and sisters and everything. But I definitely, I didn't want to like leave her out because I, you know, we had a good relationship. But just piggybacking on that whole, we want a sneaker deal. As you said, we discussed that in every single episode because these artists are like, give me a deal. Because they are really like, everybody who we talk about in these episodes, most of them are like, were at the pinnacles of some of their careers of the time, you know? So they feel like, did we rock this product? We need some kind of deal. So
say- And they were not wrong. Let me just say that. I mean, if it was in our power to do, we would have done it and we would have made so much money, all of us together. But anyway, let's go down.
So you know, and of course I'm the new person. So they're like, maybe this new girl can get us the deal. Duh, no.
The other girl was blocking. She was in the way.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, again, whenever we had an opportunity to get them some kind of notoriety, a check or anything, you know, we had those people who were like, we were super cool with that. We tried to, you know, engage them with the brand. This is why we were at Nike. I mean, I guess we said that. So one particular thing, I was very close with the person who managed the Nike Foundation, and they kind of sort and, you know, handled all of the CSR things that the brand were doing. And they had an opportunity where they were donating $100,000 to youth organizations across America. And I don't know what they came to me, like, do I have a celebrity who would want to, you know, be involved? I'm not really sure. But anyway, I was like, oh, this seems like a great opportunity for OutKast to partner with Nike. I mean, we didn't write them a check per se, but they were like the celebrity partner, and they would, every city that they went to, 10 cities across their tour, we would have them either go to the organization or have representatives come to the show and receive their $10,000 donation on behalf of Nike and OutKast.
One of today's hottest hip hop groups is teaming up with Nike. OutKast is teaming up with nonprofit youth organizations in 9 cities across the country to talk to kids about the challenges of the streets.
And Nike has recruited the group to hand out $1,000 grants at 9 tour stops in connection with the nonprofit corporate group called Nike Youth Action.
Nike Youth Action program is encouraging young people to take a stand, to have a voice, to change things that are going on in their communities.
We think it's important to encourage young people to be active in the community just for the simple fact of, you know, giving back, giving them something else to do, you know, keeping them out of mischief, letting them know there's other avenues out there to make money besides the streets, you know. And then just letting them know if they see me and Dre up here giving back, that maybe they can do something and want to give back to the little younger cats coming up.
We think it's important for us to take a stand because a lot of youngsters or just people out there in general, they see us on TV and they kind of get a, not a false perception of what we do. We want to let them know that it's, that we real folks with them. We down there on the same level with them. And let them know that we got some causes. Sorry, we're just not up here just rapping and just talking and just, you know, bull snapping.
It's definitely important because they look at us as role models. So, you know what I'm saying? You never forget where you came from. And that's one of the ways that you show you got love for your hometown. So it's very important.
So that was something they got. Yeah. And they got a lot of PR for that, too. I mean, it just was a feel good sort of thing. And it was, you know, for any artist to be aligned with the brand. I mean, nobody knows behind the scenes exactly what are the ins and outs of it, but just for them to be aligned with the brand in that way and to the youth organizations, you know, I thought that was, you know, they were like, okay, this is great. It was a win-win all the way around. It wasn't a deal, but it was a deal of sorts.
So. Yeah, no, they use their celebrity for good, right? I'm all about that. That's really what my career is about at this point, you know, leveraging your celebrity for the greater good. So they were able to take Nike's money and put it in communities that really needed it across their tour. So I would consider that success, although it wasn't the deal that they were looking for. So kudos to you for even, you know, bringing that forward for them.
Yeah, yeah. And one other thing, okay, this was like, this is like a personal, I don't think I ever told you this.
Oh my goodness.
It's not bad. Okay, so, you know, we would do like All-Star Weekend. It would just be like so hectic for months, and it usually would be months leading up until February. So we probably had been working 6 months. So I just remember after one of these All-Star Weekends, I had planned a trip to go to Brazil. You know, I'd be on my travel, right?
You'd be trekking across the globe. Yes, you do.
So somebody on the Outkast team was like, Outkast, I don't know if both of them are going. To be honest, I think it was probably Andre going to Brazil. I was like, oh my God, he's going to Brazil. Same time I'm going to Brazil. I mean, I'm sure, I don't know. You know, a lot of guys go to Brazil. They have other intentions. But anyway.
I don't even know.
But I was like, oh my God, this is so exciting, right? So they told me like where he was going to stay. I think I even took some product and I was like, oh, I'm going to even give him some product when I'm in Brazil, right? I go to Brazil and I'm like, is he here? And they were like, oh, he didn't make it. I'm like, what? People, you know, there's a lot of countries, like Americans don't realize that you need visas for many countries. So like Brazil is one of those countries, I believe it's still the same, I'm not sure, that you actually have to get the visa in advance. It's not like visa on arrival and they, you know what I mean? So he actually got to the airport and could not travel because he did not have a Brazilian visa. I was like, oh man.
Messed up my get down.
Fantasy is about to play out.
Right. I was about to make. Some stuff happen. What's up? he owes you a do-over.
You know what, Andre? But you know, to be honest, the funny. I think we know that I live in Accra, and when I hear a lot of artists what they're going through, I just feel like, come, you guys, and so many of you just come to Africa. Like, I know it sounds like Nas and Belly or something, but. Like you would be able to breathe. And I just feel like creatively, it's like a different, the pressure that we feel in the West. There's so much going on right now. A lot of them, I just feel like it would be healing. You know what I mean? Especially when Kanye was going through all his mess. I'm like, Kanye, you just need to book a flight. Come over here for like 3 or 4 months.
You would be in Wyoming. In Jackson Hole, he should have been in Accra.
For real.
I love what you're saying because what I really hear you saying is come where there's a level of acceptance, right? Yeah. Come where there is the peace of mind, where it's not so much about what you're doing, but really about who you are, and there's the freedom to just be.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
To just be, like, so many people are wondering what they're going to be, right? Or how they're going to be, how am I going to look, how am I going to show up? But there's not a lot of focus on just being. And it seems to me like in Ghana, of course, I haven't visited you yet. I'm going to, I promise. Okay. I'm coming.
I'm waiting.
But it seems like there is just... You know, once you step foot on that soil, there's permission to just be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely right. What I feel. And, you know, sometimes I do interviews and people ask me about like racism, like, am I here because of that? You know, and I was like, you know, again, our world does not revolve around them and our response to them all the time. Like, I am here because I can just be a human, a woman, a Black person in the world, like all these things that I wish so many more people could experience. I mean, you don't even have to move to experience that. You can just visit, right? But definitely you see so many artists are doing it. I mean, I saw like a few weeks ago, even Meek Mill was like, should I come to Ghana or should I go to London or something like that? And I'm like, boy, let me tell you.
And even like right now, you're on your way to see an artist once we wrap up here who has been collabing with American artists. I mean,
I'm going to Tiwa Savage, listening. She has a recent single that's out now with Brandy. So definitely a lot of artists are seeing, just like Black people in general, are seeing that this is a place that they can just kind of retreat almost. So I think that's important for a lot of the artists, just like globally. I think when they you know, have a place that you can just be free, I think that's important. I know we went heavy on the Andre 3000 side. No disrespect, Big Boy, because you're doing your thing out here as well, you know, movies and businesses and, you know, all sorts of things. So I know everybody's asking when is the next Outkast album, but after hearing that interview, I'm like, I don't know what Andre got in store. What you think, Nikita? What's your odds on that?
I don't know. I mean, I heard rumblings that there was something coming from them. So we'll see.
Okay. All right.
I really love this conversation because it's not one of our typical episodes, but it does really show and demonstrate how artists are just people. And as, you know, the human race right now, we're all kind of in this funky place, you know, coming out of COVID, still in COVID, not really so sure about what the future holds, but really knowing that, you know, we want to be free, right? And we want to be able to live our lives without so much anxiety and so much worry and so much angst. And my prayer for everybody listening is that we, you know, all find that place that Muhammad was talking about where you can just breathe, you know, and just be. So I'm so glad we had this conversation today. It was so good and refreshing going back down memory lane with you.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking, I mean, I guess, Andre is still a sneakerhead because I saw like some viral video, like from a few months ago, where he's like walking down the street playing a flute. I don't know if you saw that video. He was just like walking down the street. Yes. And he was rocking some Jordans.
Oh, you got to put it in the link. You got to put it in the link so we can all see it.
Yeah, so, you know, I know he's like going through whatever creatively, but he's still like, sneakerhead at heart. So, yeah, shout out to you. Shout out to Andre. Shout out to Big Boy. Shout out to Outkast.
Rick Rubin. Podcast is dope.
Yeah. So great. Well, thanks everyone for joining us. Please make sure we share a lot of interesting content related to each episode on our social media. So, you know, definitely follow us on Instagram, The Soul Chronicles, and all other platforms, social media platforms at Soul Chronicles to, you know, see some behind the scenes pictures, our, you know, videos that we have that we've done or, you know, that reflect some things that we talked about in the episode. And definitely share your comments. We love getting feedback. We just got some dope feedback from the Zuhaira episode. Thanks, Bobito, for sharing and reposting the link for that. We definitely appreciate that. And want to hear, if you listen to our episodes, please tag us and please reshare, repost. We love getting your feedback. Thanks, everyone. And tune into another episode of The Soul Chronicles soon. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to The Soul Chronicles, the podcast navigating life and times in the sneaker industry, Hollywood, and corporate America. Be sure to join us for another exciting episode.